Welcome to Golf Talk Live. This award-winning weekly radio program provides you with all the information you need about private and public golf courses, special features, and interviews with the men and women, both players and executives, who impact golf across the tri-state region and the country. And now, here are your hosts, Alan DePew and Tony Leodora.
Welcome, golf fans. Alan DePew, you have found Golf Talk Live. Not any Golf Talk Live, but our November 14th edition that we are pre-recording on Friday the 13th. And where else but at Black Cat Cigars. And I look to my left, and I am joined by Tony Leodora.
That's right. The fact that we're going to be at Black Cat, where we have been so many years in a row at this time, to kick off the holiday shopping season with the owner, Sam Driven, made me make sure that I got here for this. Now, the fact that the golf world decided to add the Masters this week just was a nice little thing to add to the whole thing, and we have the Masters on TV. Again, you're hearing us on Saturday. We recorded it Friday evening at Black Cat, which is still here through all of this COVID, and we're so happy that they are. And, Sam, it ain't been easy.
Now, 2020's been an unusual year, but you know, being here with you guys on the week of the Masters is a treat for us.
And it really is. It really is. And I think the best thing that comes out of it, there are always some silver linings in the cloud. Alan, you've talked about it. The golf courses are jam-packed. People saying this is a safe, healthy thing to do.
Absolutely. It is a COVID-safe world on a golf course.
So what's the little byproduct? They're out there playing golf. What are they doing? Smoking cigars more. And you honestly have had a very successful year.
Yes. I mean, one of the benefits is that while people couldn't go out and people couldn't travel, they did get to play golf. It was one of the pleasures they didn't have to do without. And they do enjoy their cigars on the courses, thankfully.
Yeah. Worth sitting on their back porch or whatever.
Wherever they are. God bless them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a little silver lining.
Tony, I just walked back into the humidor in the room back there. What a selection that Sam has.
Yeah. He's got all the names. There's no question about it. And he's got what I've been saying for years. My favorite golf course cigar is his personal blend, the Black Cat label, that Connecticut wrapper, Dominican tobacco. Pretty good. The best thing is it never goes out on the golf course. I light it and it stays lit.
Yeah, we have 9 proprietary brands, and a lot of the guys enjoy those Black Cat Dominicans out on the course. It's an easy smoke, and it's a great golf cigar.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Masters weekend, it is a very special, special thing. And, of course, you've had it on the TV here all weekend long. And, folks, all I can say to you is wherever you are, enjoy what we have of the Masters this year. If you're not able to go to Augusta National this year, you got to make the best of it. So enjoy the rest of the weekend. Sit out on your back porch, have the TV playing, smoke a cigar, and let's see who winds up winning this thing.
Yeah, it's great being. I mean, I'm sitting here with Tony and Alan on Masters weekend. It is a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, let's see who's going to do what. Let's go to the Pro Golf Report. We got Eddie Cazzo, our producer, to bring us right into it.
Whoop, yep, the hot news just in. Black Friday event, good for the entire month of November, is on at Kutztown Buick GMC. 0% financing for up to 84 months on most Buick and GMC models. Save up to $7,000 in interest charges. That's great deals also at Turnpike Chevrolet in Morgantown, PA. Remember, Kutztown Auto and Turnpike Chevrolet, they are both closer than you think, and they bring us our Pro Golf Report.
And when we talk about the Pro Golf Report this week, well, there really is only one show in the house, and that is the Masters. They didn't get all of round two finished on Friday, but they got a good portion of it, and all the leaders at the top of the leaderboard were able to finish. 4 players at 9 under par, Abraham Answer, Cameron Smith, Justin Thomas, and Dustin Johnson. The first two, probably not on your pool to win this.
Definitely not on the top of the on my radar, no.
The second two probably on a majority of people's pools.
I would think so.
Yeah. I heard a great comment earlier today. One of the talking heads, and I don't know, I don't always pay attention, but they asked him, who's going to win this Masters? And he said, whoever can beat Dustin Johnson, if that's possible.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I picked DJ to win this week. Sam, I'd be interested. Who'd you have in your pools?
Well, I love answer, but I mean Dustin Johnson's chalk.
The reason he's number one in the world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's a reason. It's hard to go against him in a tournament like this.
We have three players at 8-under. I don't know that it's going to stay that way because they're not finishing all of them. But of those who did finish their round, Sungbae Im, 8-under. John Rahm at 8-under. He still had a couple holes left. And Patrick Cantlay finished, and he was at 8-under. So, there's some names on the leaderboard. It's going to change a lot on Saturday because that is moving day. And
I think the interesting thing is the cut line this year with the move to 50, low 50. Even par, when we're recording this right now, is looking like that's where the cut line is. That's low.
Yeah. It's been a scoring weekend. There's no question about it. Some who are not making the cut, Bryson DeChambeau, that ruined a lot of people's pools.
Well, he,
Jordan Spieth, former champion.
Yeah, Bryson. Again, as we're recording right now, you're correct. I think he's on the outside looking in, right, Tony? He's still on the back nine, though.
Yeah, he's going to have to really. He would really have to finish strong early in the morning to do that. He's got four or five holes left, and he's at 3-over par. So,
right.
Some of the others, Gary Woodland, former Open champ. A lot of guys not making it. So that's what you get. It's going to be an interesting weekend. And, Sam, all I can say is stay open late so the guys can get their cigars for the weekend.
Yeah, everybody's been coming in. Unfortunately, the store is open for walk-in traffic and walk-in business. The lounge, unfortunately, is closed. But everybody's been coming in and buying their cigars for the weekend, and it should be a great finish, as usually is.
Yeah. One other thing that we want to mention during the Pro Golf Report, a very special tip of the cap. The Philadelphia Section PGA announced two new inductees to the Philadelphia Section Hall of Fame. One of them, one of the nicest guys and best golf pros in the entire area, a great personal friend of our guest later on in the show, golf writer Mike Kern. But Mike Mack from Burlington Country Club is being inducted along with the very first president of the Philadelphia Section PGA, Bob Barrett Jr. That goes back into the 30s. And, it's a great honor for both of them, and I can't wait to sometime this year extend personal congrats to Mike Mack because he's one heck of a guy.
Ever.
And a very avid cigar smoker, Sam.
Good, good, good.
All right, that's our Pro Golf Report brought to you by our good friends at Kutztown Auto and their sister store, Turnpike Chevrolet. Kutztown Auto, of course, with Buick, GMC, and Cadillac. Wherever you're hearing this, trust me, they are closer than you think. Check them out for great deals as their Black Friday sale continues all through November. Alan, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, you had one heck of an interview this week, sort of talking about some of the very special characteristics of Augusta National by a guy who played there a number of times. Chip Beck. Great pro.
Yeah, excellent.
All right, we'll have that for you right here on Golf Talk Live, Masters Weekend from Black Cat Cigars.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.
Hi, golf fans. This is Tom Fazio. You are listening to The Real Deal, Golf Talk Live.
And our next guest, if you are a follower of the PGA Tour, needs no introduction. A four-time winner, a member of multiple Ryder Cup teams, and spent 40 weeks in the top 10 in his career. I am very pleased to welcome to the show Chip Beck. Chip, hello.
Hello there. Thanks for having me, Alan.
Absolutely, my friend. How are we doing today?
Fantastic. I couldn't be better. I wish the hurricane weren't coming through South Florida, but other than that, it's really good.
You are based down in the Naples area, I believe you said, the weather is always good down there.
Well, from now till about March, it's the best in the country because it's warm and not a lot of wind, not a lot of rain. It's almost like desert, other than when these hurricanes come through. It's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
So in your long career on the tour, and then you were out on the Champions Tour for a number of years as well, you played in a little town up there in Georgia called Augusta once or twice, and I remember looking back and saying you finished second even, so you have some familiarity with that golf course.
I do, you know, in my career, I played it about 12, 13 times, and I never really had a chance to win because I always played a low fade. So if you look at like Hale Irwin or Lee Trevino, I think they might have had one top 10 each. I think Hale Irwin finished 12th one time, or maybe one top 10. I mean, he's one of the great players of all time. So,
sure.
But when I learned to hit an open face draw, I was hooking the ball 25 to 30 yards off the tee. And then in 93, that was the first chance that I actually had a chance to win. It was at a time in my career I'd played the Ryder Cup. You know, and I'd been down to Augusta, and I knew if you're my size, you have to hit a hook. If you're Curtis Strange, if you're our size, basically under 6'1" or 6 feet, you better hit a nice hook to catch the roll down the hills and hit shorter irons into the greens, because
right.
It truly is a long hitter's paradise. And it's funny, you know, because it's raining there right now, and I remember the first couple of years I played, it's just rained all week, and I would hit a shot like I could hit something from the bottom of the hill there into nine. It would hit on the back of the green like an inch off the green, and it would spin all the way off the front. Yeah, I'm talking about 40 yards off the front and then come right off the front of the green another 40 yards. I thought it was the hardest golf course I'd ever seen. And so, as a matter of fact, I stood there in my third attempt, and the wind and the ball's just coming off the greens, and I thought, I told my caddy, I said, I remember reading when the flag was tucked in the second tier of the ninth green to the left, Hogan would play it 10 feet left of the flag, and it would stay there. And I said, I said, Dave, let's try it, my caddy, Dave Woosley. So I thought I hit a perfect shot. And honestly and truly, I said, I think it stopped. You couldn't see the ball. But it must have been 3 minutes later, that ball comes rolling around the bunker, spins down and around the bunker, and I'm 40 yards short of the green again. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this is the toughest thing I've ever seen. So anyways, when I learned to hit a hook, I had a chance only one time, but I was so satisfied that I'd actually gone around Amen Corner for the first time and actually truly had an opportunity to win. And at the end of that tournament, I thought, you know what, a break here and there, it could have been my tournament, but I knew I had an opportunity. I knew I could win that tournament after that because I knew I could play a hook. But as it turned out, it didn't plan out that way, but I really enjoyed trying to go for it anyways.
Right. And that golf course has obviously undergone significant transformation over the year, obviously, when Tiger came on tour. And now, with your insight, today, obviously all the conversation is about the Bombers, and of course Bryson's leading that conversation. But how is that going to play into this week, in your opinion?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I remember playing a practice round with George Archer. And it was, I think, in 1983, because it was the first year they allowed the pros to bring their own caddy in. And George had his daughter, who was a minister, caddying for him.
Sure.
And I remember walking George Archer. He won it in 69. And I love George Archer. And but anyway, we're playing a practice round, and we're walking either up to the 8th green or down off the 19th. And he says, "Hey, Chip, you won't believe this, but this is where the tees were when I won in 1969. And basically, we're at the end of the trees on the 8th fairway. Going, so it's 100 yards short of the green, maybe not 100, but at least 65, 70 yards short of the 8th green. He said, this is where the tee was when I won.
Wow.
And now that is probably 150 yards from where they're playing today.
Right.
But I do say that, like, a Bubba Watson, you know, and DeChambeau, they're obviously, if it stays wet like it is, they will clearly have an advantage, because the long ball hitter, I mean, from what they were saying about DeChambeau yesterday, he hit an 8-iron into 13. He's hitting a wedge into number one. I mean, he'd hit a 3-wood over the green at three.
On number three, yeah.
It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So they really lost control of the game when they make Augusta obsolete, you know? So I think it's tragic when you can move the tees back 100 yards on, or probably be 150 yards from where I played it. First time I went there in the early 80s, and now they're on the 13th hole. He had an 8-iron in there this past week in a practice round. I mean, that's just not the way it was meant to be played. I do remember 1975, watching Bobby Nichols. He drove it through the fairway on 13, and I remember watching him. He pulled out a 6-iron into that green. And that was 1975, so, but he was a real long hitter. And it's just funny how even today, the ball just, I think, is still going a lot farther than it's ever gone. And the biggest thing that I think that really affected the golf is the spring in the face. When at the USGA, they basically were unaware that these manufacturers were understanding that the spring in the face was happening. And I remember Carson Solheim was, you know, they sent a driver, and I can't remember, I think it was about, it's a G10 or something like that, and they said, hey, look, this driver is really good, and it's within the limit when you play it, but after you use it a while, it loosens up.
Right.
And then the COR, the coefficient of restitution, actually increases. Is it still legal? They backed them all up, but they grandfathered that club in. So that club is still one of the longest. So all the team players probably know that. But they pushed the limit so much now to the point where the 3-wood is not regulated, and the 3-wood with the TaylorMade and some of the other clubs, especially the TaylorMade with the slot in the back,
right,
they go farther than the guy's driver. So they usually, from what I understand, they're using 5-wood instead as their 3-wood. So they really, the technology has really superseded the utility of making the game, bringing more people in and making it fun for more people.
Right.
It's kind of tragic, really. You know, the days of a Corey Pavin, I mean, he even has a hard time winning on the Champions Tour. The technology is,
when you have a Phil Mickelson that now out there and he's hitting it averaging 313 on the Champions Tour, that makes it difficult. It should be good theater this week with, you know, even the winds coming out of a different direction into Amen's Corner. Do you have any predictions?
It is. No, but I was reading where, you know, Clifford Roberts said that when they were designing that, when they were excavating the 12th green, they found an Indian burial ground. I thought, oh my God, no wonder that place is so spooky, and it has so many strange winds knocking the ball down, and you don't know what you're going to get. It's pretty funny.
Chip,
the Indian gods are coming after the golfers, man. It's great.
Chip, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat about Augusta. I could literally sit on the phone and chat all day. But we do have to take a step away for our sponsors. You're listening to Golf Talk Live, the number one golf radio show in America.
Join Golf Talk Live as they take the show on the road to Ireland. 6 rounds of golf, 6 nights in Dublin, Portmarnock, Royal Dublin, Balltray Links, the K Club, the European Club, and Portmarnock Links. Go to Ireland with Golf Talk Live from September 25th to October 4th, 2021. Email Alan at golftalklive.net. That's A-L-L-E-N at golftalklive.net for more details.
In this rapidly changing real estate world, it is imperative you have the expert advice of a global leader. With over 15,000 offices worldwide, Colliers International offers you the solution to maximizing your property value. Relieve the stress of finding that perfect space, sourcing new tenants, or managing your assets. Colliers is a full-service real estate firm dedicated to providing solutions to your real estate needs. Whether buying or selling, accelerate success with Colliers International. Connect with a partner in your area today at colliers.com.
Hiya, boys. Nice day for golf, eh?
Quiet, please.
Oh, you got secrets, eh?
Now back to Golf Talk Live.
Well, folks, it's product of the month time, and in this special Golf Talk Live show that is concentrating on the kickoff of holiday shopping season, we've got the greatest holiday gift idea for you, for the golfer or even the non-golfer. We're talking about Next Belt, the belt with no holes, and we've got the founder, Eddie Rowland, with us. Eddie, welcome back to Golf Talk Live.
Thanks, Tony. Great to be here with you.
Great to be talking to you, too. I'm used to talking to you in your great-looking booth at the PGA Merchandise Show. That won't be happening this year. We're still figuring out how this virtual PGA show is going to take place, but that hasn't stopped you guys. Next Belt is on a roll, and congratulations. You guys are doing great, and you keep coming out with new styles.
That's the key, I think, to our success, is to continue to just innovate and bring new products every year, year after year.
Well, the belt with no holes, folks, a ratchet-type belt, there is no better-looking belt. And you know the amazing thing, Eddie, whether it's for a golfer or, as I said, even a non-golfer, you have styles of belt that go from the most elegant down to the most everyday belts.
Yeah, the goal for us is really to, we know that every person in the world more or less has to wear a belt. And if they don't have to, they should, or they want to. So our goal is to try and put a belt on every person in the world, and whether it be a golfer or a non-golfer or a worker or you know, no matter what you do, I think most people wear belts. And so we have a belt that fits just about anybody.
Well, it certainly does fit just about anybody because you customize it to your own size. You don't have to buy a size of a belt. You can trim it to your size. And then with the ratchets, they stay new looking for years and years because they don't put belt holes in there and they don't wear apart and break. It's really a great belt. Tell us about some of the biggest selling styles that you have.
Well, some of the newest innovation that we have for this year, for 2020, was the braided series and the basket weave series are two that are, we having a hard time keeping them on the shelf or in stock. And the basket weave series is a leather belt that's expandable. So it went from very comfortable to even more comfortable because it's a ratcheting system, like you said, but it also has a stretch feature to it, and that is the basket weave series. And then we have the kind of the nylon braided series that have some multiple colors and whatnot that you see a lot of guys, you know, wearing on tour, and they're just a great everyday belt. They're a little lighter than a leather belt, and they're just super comfortable. So those are two belts that have done really well. We also have the suede series that kind of makes it, you know, it's a really classy look.
And really is, yeah.
Wear with a suit or whatnot.
And then, for the real dress-up occasions, you even have some leather belts and things like that that just look so sharp.
Yeah, we have a new crocodile belt that's actually an inch and a half wide.
Wow.
It's done really well as well, and that's a really classy dress-up belt.
Yeah. And then on the utility side, there's one that is for those who like to carry their protection with them, and that's quite a line you have there, too.
Yeah, the EDC, Everyday Carry Belts, it is. It's becoming quite popular, and we have an EDC carry belt for everybody as well, as far as leather, nylon, and those are very different from our regular golf belts or dress belts, by the way. They have a different clasp. They have a different, the way they mount onto the belt is much different. They have set screws. They're a much more rigid belt. They have a liner inside that keeps them very rigid.
Well, that pretty much covers the gamut of all the belts, and I see them in the pro shops and on the golfers, but especially I'm seeing them more and more on the players on the professional golf tours. The first two to come to mind, Jim Furyk, Kevin Na. Let's bring in a guy who knows all about those people. Barrett Martins is the global golf manager for Next Belt. Barrett, welcome to Golf Talk Live, and tell us a little bit of what it's like working with the best pro golfers in the world, dressing them up, making them look a little better on the course.
For sure, and good to talk to you again, Tony. It's a pleasure to be back on and talking with you again.
But yeah.
We've got a major stronghold on every tour imaginable now. Predominantly, obviously, the tour that everybody talks about is the PGA Tour. And as you mentioned, Kevin Na and Jim Furyk are kind of our headliners. And we've got many, many more. We've probably got over 40 players on the PGA Tour that wear and enjoy our belts just like every other golfer does. They wear them because they love them. They've pretty much have gone away from their traditional belt and gone with the next belt because of how much better it fits, how well it looks, and the way that it can be trusted on tour, that they need to use that trust to play every round and feel confident with what they're wearing. And you know, recently we've been able to expand to the other tours as well. We just had three players on the Champions Tour this week that finished in the top 10 that were wearing our belts. And
wow,
fortunately the golfer that finished second in the playoff is a great guy, and he loves Next Belt, but he unfortunately didn't get the win, but was happy to have the support out there. We've got golfers on the LPGA Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, and many, many of the tours down below the main tours that wear a belt. And like I said, they just, everybody that wears the belts, I can't say enough good things about them. Everybody that wears them, they don't ever go back. It's great to have a partnership with so many players on a professional level that swear by our belts.
Yeah, well, you said the magic word, LPGA Tour. A lot of people don't realize Next Belt makes belts for women, too. You can see the entire line on your website, Barrett. The website is?
Nextbelt.com.
There you go, NEXBELT.com. The belt with no holes, the only belt that yours truly from Golf Talk Live wears. Barrett, thanks for being with us. And Eddie Rowland, thank you for being with us. That's our product of the month this month on Golf Talk Live.
And we are back at Black Cat Cigars. Excellent product of the month, Next Belt. I love the product. And in fact, you have an opportunity if you hop over to Golf Talk Live on Instagram. We are currently running a contest to win your own Next Belt. When we come back, golf writer Mike Kern joins Tony and I for most memorable Masters memories. Oh boy, it's going to be a fun one. You're listening to Golf Talk Live, folks, the number one golf radio show in America.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.
This is Jay Wright, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
And we are back at Black Cat Cigars, and we are joined by none other than golf writer Mike Kern. Tony, I'm sure we're about to hear some memorable moments at Augusta National.
Out of this segment, yes, the most memorable Masters moments, but I put a caveat on it.
Oh, boy.
Can't be golf, right?
Can't be champions. So, in other words, Tiger's first win, Mickelson's first win, Jack Nicklaus's win in 86.
Nah.
They've been talked about.
I won there for there. I won there for Jack.
All right. So, most memorable Masters moments. Would you like to start off?
Yeah, my first memorable week, I can't get into any details, was when you and the late, great John Kunda corrupted me on my first trip to Augusta. They were in charge of showing me the ropes. They showed me the ropes.
Oh, boy.
Let's just, I will leave it at that, and they trained me well.
Well, John Kunda was the golf writer, the columnist, former sports editor for the Allentown Morning Call, and he was both of our mentors.
Iron my pants.
We went a lot of places.
Iron my pants.
That's right. So following from that, I will tell you that my first time I covered, he took us at night and he says, we've got to go, Sonny, to the Surrey Tavern. I said, what the heck's the Surrey Tavern? He says, you'll see. So we went there, and it was a restaurant that they turned into a nightclub at night with, and they would bring in a band, 6, 7, 8-piece horn band or whatever it is. And I walked in, and my jaw dropped. Let me explain. This was in my single days. So I walked in, my jaw dropped. It was like 5-1, women to guys. And I'm like, what is going on here? Then I found out Augusta is the medical capital of Georgia. Most hospitals, there were nurses everywhere, and these were beautiful Southern girls with that Georgia draw. Hi, how are you?
Was this anywhere near the Snake Lady place?
This was not near the Snake Lady place. That was downtown. But the Surrey Tavern then became the annual haunt every single night, and the reason why I was bleeding through my eyeballs every morning when I had to go to work in the press room. So, yes, many most memorable Masters moments occurred at the Surrey Tavern, where I learned to shag.
That's big down there, shag.
Do you know what the shag is?
It's a dance.
I'm only thinking Austin Powers.
No. It is like a dance.
Southern slow version of Jitterbug.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess that's the best
one. Go ahead. You're next.
You want
me to go now? Okay.
Yeah.
The first, I played the course twice, 2003, 2010. I was fortunate enough. And the second time, they gave us a locker in the Champions locker room, which is sacred ground. Whose locker do I get? George Archer, who's like 6'11". I'm 5'0", and I thought it was just apropos that me and George Archer shared a locker.
There you go.
At Augusta.
And Chip Beck talked about it.
And Chip Beck brought him up.
One green jacket between us.
Yeah, really. Well, since you said that one, I'll tell you one that has to do with the clubhouse there, too. Every Wednesday that I covered 8 Masters, which is nothing compared to Mike, 25 straight, Michael did from...
Ian Woosnam to Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. Mine were all in the 80s and 90s, and... It was tradition on Wednesday that I would go under the big oak tree outside the clubhouse and meet world-famous golf architect Tom Fazio. Mm-hmm. And Tom's little tradition for me was that he would then invite me into the clubhouse because he could for breakfast. And every year there would be a different guest at the table. One year it was the guy who invented the subterranean system under the greens. And I got some good stories out of it, too, some of these things. So the one year we go up there, and I'm sitting at the table, and there's just Tom, and there's the empty seat, and I keep looking over, and he sees me looking around, and he says, don't worry, our guest is coming. And then as I'm talking to him, he interrupts me, and he says, Tony, I'd like you to meet our guest. Meet the squire, Gene Sarazen.
Oh, wow.
He said, I was
pissed. No way.
I couldn't get the words out of my mouth. I was like, oh, my gosh. It was, to me, that was.
Because next on my list. I was up on the veranda, the top part.
Of yeah.
The, sitting there one day, you know, one of my first. The guy sitting where you are, right next to me in the next table, Gene Sarazen.
Get out.
And I finally went over and Mr. Sarazen, like, and he was the, like.
You couldn't say what I was going to say.
Thank you for, you know, I'm like, you know, I didn't know what to say with that.
Yeah.
And that's what made Augusta was you could have one of those stories almost every day. It would just be a different guy. But yeah. Gene Sarazen, yeah, man, that was...
One of the nicest old guys you'd ever meet in your life. He was something. And that was one of the most magical 1 hours of my life, listening to stories from him.
He had stories?
Everything from not being allowed to come in the front door of a clubhouse when he was a pro because of prejudice. And you know, all the way down through the entire line, it was
spectacular. And as you were sitting there talking to him, you were looking at Bobby Jones's clubs from like 1930 or something.
All right, so you, I'm glad that you got to meet Cyrus, and I didn't know
not
that.
Like you got, not like you got to meet him, but you know.
So here's a little story from Sunday at Augusta. Apparently, I did not have as late a night at the Surrey Tavern, so it's Sunday morning, and I decided to get to the course early. For a little bit of exercise and fresh air.
Why?
And I said, you know, I'm going to walk the back nine because it's empty. And, you know, I'll just get some exercise. I wanted to get... So I get to the 10th tee, and the last place team is just getting to the 10th tee. They had played the front nine. This is at 9:30 or whatever, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And in that group was Mark Calcavecchia. So I said, oh, well, let me go down 10 and watch him hit it. He goes down 10. He makes birdie. I said, oh, I'll go to 11. Tough hole. Makes another birdie. So now I said, well, this is going to be my walk. I might as well follow him. We go all the way around the back nine till 18 as he drops in another birdie putt for 29. Do you know what a 29 looks like? I mean, it's like nothing you ever saw in your life. Seven birdies, two pars, two ho-hum pars. And there's nobody following this guy. He makes the putt, and he starts walking, and he stops, and he looks over at me, and he goes, what the – he sees my press badge, and he goes, what the hell are you doing here? I said, well, to be honest, I just came out for a little exercise. You made a birdie and then another one.
You got a couple minutes to talk?
Yeah, I figured, you know, I don't want to jinx you. I might as well keep going on. And so I went the whole way, and that was the most amazing round. He took about two more steps while he was walking away, and he stopped dead in his tracks. He turned around, and he goes, great. Where the hell were you the rest of the week? Mark Calcavecchia, 29. Yeah.
So one of my best friends was the guy from Toledo, Dave Hackenberg.
What a great guy.
So one year we're sitting there.
Toledo Blade.
We laughed. That's all we did was laugh 24/7. And he says, you want to go take a walk? Sure. Why not? Where are we going? So we start walking, and he knew Jamie Farr because of the Jamie Farr Classic in there.
Right.
We start walking.
Jamie Farr from MASH,
with the Tony Pacos and all that. We end up at one of the cabins. Now, I'm not sure if it was Butler or if it was one of those other cabins. Hack's like, come on. And Jamie Farr was there for some reason that I didn't know, whatever. And we spent like an hour and a half in one of those cabins with all the green jackets walking around and all. And it was just the coolest thing. I'm like, because it is a little bit different world when you go into one of them. Then even though the other parts are different, and me and Jamie Farr and Hack spent like an hour down there, and I probably ate some free food. I'm sure I partook in a drink or something. I don't know.
Was Jamie Farr wearing women's clothing?
How could you tell? I mean,
there's a question.
He was good. He was a good guy, though. I mean, he really was.
I did not think I'd be asking that question in our Masters show here. It's pretty good. All right. I've got two more, and they're both either, you want to call them sad or negative ones.
I thought these were going to be all upbeat.
Yeah, this one.
Okay. That's all right.
This was upbeat for a certain guy, but not for this guy.
Okay.
In 1989, a guy by the name of Scott Hoke was winning the Masters. And
you didn't follow him for his back nine, did you?
I was pretty close out there when he had a 2.5-footer on 18 to win the tournament and flat out.
No, in the playoff hole.
Flat out missed it.
Was it on 18 in the playoff hole?
No, it was on.
No, it was in the playoff hole.
The playoff hole was on 10.
On 10.
The downhill.
It was downhill on 10,
right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. He would have.
I would have given it to him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're playing with me.
He would have won there. He missed a 2.5-footer to win.
Yep.
And then
Faldo
Nick
won.
Faldo went on and won the next hole in sudden death and won the Masters. And he very unfairly was called Scott Choke after that for many years. I want to set the record straight. Scott Hoke won 11 times on the PGA Tour. Yeah. You ask that of anybody now.
Ryder Cup teams? He was on Ryder Cup teams.
And he also played in the Tylenol Kids Classic at Commonwealth National, a Monday-Tuesday charity event for kids with cystic fibrosis, the saddest thing in the world. These kids looked so healthy, and they weren't going to make it to like 15 years old. And he won, and he was so good with those kids. He was incredible. He wouldn't let them go, and he was hugging them, and he was just a wonderful champion for that. So I want to set that straight, but it was certainly.
And you think about how a guy's career could have been totally different. I mean, and I'm, you know. But one of the things was when we used to stay down there, and people can't appreciate this, I guess, because – The hotels were horrible. I mean, they were beyond brutal. Okay. And, I mean, you go there, and every year the same drawer won't work, the same light won't work, there was no lid on your toilet. 2 years in a row I went and didn't turn my sheets down. I slept on top, which somebody told me was worse.
That's worse.
And if I know, but I'm stupid. So 1 year I'm sitting down there, I'm talking to the guy back in the office, and I'm like, yeah. He said, where are you? I'm like, I'm here, this, you know, whatever. He goes, where are you? I said, well, you know, I'm here. And he goes, where are you? He goes, where are you? I said, well, I'm in Augusta. He goes, shut up. and you know what? After that, I would go in the door. I mean, say, hey, welcome back, room. with the purple, the first one where you guys were, the purple carpet on the walls.
The Knights Inn. It was deep purple. It was unbelievable.
It was like one of those Pocono rooms. Yeah. Right up at, you know.
They actually had shag carpet on the wall.
On the
and
walls.
The reason was
purple.
Because the walls were so thin, they were trying to pad a little bit so you didn't hear what was going on in the next room, which, well, that's another story. So my other sad story is tied in with Mike's story earlier about the two times that he played Augusta. In my first 2 years, this is a record, first 2 years, my name was picked out of the hat to play Augusta National. And I set a record by turning it down 2 years in a row. I'll make it short. Fuzzy Zeller and alcohol were involved. And I didn't play the first year, and we had a party for the grand opening of his course at Reynolds Plantation that was infamous in Georgia. I think there's laws that have came out because
Jack Saylor's still playing the piano.
That's right,
pal.
So the second year I get picked again, and I didn't know it. I'm out interviewing Jay Siegel at 18 as he's coming off. I come walking back to the press room, and Fuzzy Zeller and George Sweeter, the golf writer from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, are standing in the door holding this piece of paper. And as I got closer, they're shaking their head and they're tearing it up. I said, what the heck's going on now? Fuzzy says, good news and bad news. I said, what? He says, good news, you got picked again. Bad news, we told them you're not playing again because we're going to Reynolds. I went in and told Martha Gay, the old woman there, I said, I'm not going to play. She said, young man, this is highly unusual. You know you'll never be invited again. And I never was, so I've never played Augusta, and that's my most memorable moment.
My advice to anybody would be, if you can get to Augusta sometime in your life, get to Augusta.
There you go.
I could sit and listen to you guys all evening long.
No, you couldn't.
But folks, we're running out of time. Join us on our podcast Monday when we talk in the 19th hole. We recap the Masters. You can find that on Apple, Spotify, Google, TuneIn, Radio.com. Also, find us on social media. Instagram at Golf Talk Live, Facebook Golf Talk Live. Tony?
Next week we'll be at Play Around Golf. So, folks, good day and
good golf.
Sponsored by Norris Sales Company, the one-stop shop for all of your contractors' equipment rentals, sales tools, and safety supplies for your project. Visit them at norrissales.com. And in part by Black Cat Cigar Company, world famous and available at Germantown Pike in East Narton. And by Kutztown Auto, Eastern Pennsylvania's Cadillac, Buick, and GMC dealer. Mainland Golf Club and Bella Vista Golf Club, Montgomery County's complete golf experience. By Destination Montco Golf, promoting the game in Pennsylvania's golf capital. The Sheraton Atlantic City, the perfect hotel for business or fun. By Ravensclaw Golf Club, Montgomery County's top-ranked daily fee course, hosting the business leaders of the golf world for the 30th International Network of Golf Spring Conference. And by Westover Country Club, 50 years and still your golf and event leader.